Now, we're going to change track a bit. And look, could I encourage you, if you're a tradie or if you have a member of your family who's a tradie, give them a ring and ask them to listen to us. If not, there'll be a podcast of this, well, of all the interviews I do, every week goes up. But particularly this one's for tradies that we really... I'm going to talk to a man who's been involved in the industry and he's now running a charity. And the appalling fact, or the appalling fact that he told me, is that I think four people a day in the tradie side are threatening to do themselves in. Well, let's call it true, suicide. And they actually are. So, first of all, I'd like to introduce Trevor. How are you, Trevor?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me.
I was appalled at those sorts of numbers, at four a day. If we were killing four people a day on the roads, it'd be making headlines.
Well, I'm sorry to say, Alan, it's one every 4 hours.
Every 4 hours?
We're losing six tradies a day.
Well, that's worse than four.
Yeah. It's a statistic that's unfortunately hidden because in this day and age, we are led to believe that suicide is always reported. Well, it's not. When people, unless you're under medical care, if you take to yourself with a shotgun or any similar, it's classed as mental health. It's not suicide. So that's why the statistics don't show the true figures.
So just back to what I was saying a minute ago, if we were losing six people every day on the roads, we'd have the police out there and doing all sorts of blitzes and everything, wouldn't we? And yet this seems to go on. I knew that there were a few, but I didn't realise that they were in those sorts of numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. We're losing 2,200 tradies a year, but we're only losing 1,300, which is still a horrible figure to the road toll. And the broadcasting, the funding that's put towards getting down the road toll, terrific.
Yep.
But the tradies go unnoticed.
Trevor, can I ask you, first of all, and I don't think it's any secret that you've put up yourself, that at one stage you got that low that you were considering it yourself?
I didn't just consider it. I got to work, normal day, but things didn't go quite right.
Yep.
And in the blink of an eye, literally, I threw my hands in the air and said, I've had a gutful, and I grabbed a Ramset gun and put it to my head. And fortunately, I couldn't depress the safety plunger. And in the few seconds it took me to work out how to make this thing go off...
Change your mind.
Yeah, I rethought.
Trevor, could I just ask you, in the past, now I'm going back quite some time, but would part of the problem have been that if a tradie did have a problem, went to another tradie and said, look, you know, I'm really having trouble, that they would have just been told, oh, man up, or, oh, come on, you're a guy, just get on with it?
Absolutely. And this is the stigma that surrounds a lot of this image of tradies wearing the singlets, the shorts, I've done all that.
Macho guy.
Yep. Oh, we're bulletproof, just ask us. And and that was always the response. But as we all know, clamming up is what we do the best as men.
Yes.
We don't talk.
No.
And we bottle it all up until we don't realise how we're going to get around it. Then we're too embarrassed to go up to a fellow tradie and go, listen, Cobber, I'm feeling lousy. I don't know why. I'm having these horrible thoughts. We don't do it.
Yep.
But then we'll carry out the act, and that's where everything starts to unravel for so many of us.
Trevi, I don't want to dwell on your case because that's what we're here to do. We're here to talk about the charity that you've set up. But was there one particular incident that, apart from what happened that day, I mean, obviously something went wrong there, can you now, when you look back in the past and find, oh, yeah, if I'd have done this or done that or if I hadn't have let that happen, it wouldn't have? Could you see now how it all built up?
I actually realised that it came from the home front. And that was...
Your wife says it.
That's why I've got a beautiful wife now. There was a few little issues, but I felt very alone. I didn't feel that I could talk about anything at home. And when I did actually try to do myself in, I rang up straight away and said what I'd done, and the response was, oh, well.
That was it.
We'll talk about it later. And that was that.
And that's not what you wanted.
But that was when I realised this is where my issue is, my loneliness.
Yep.
I was alone and I had no one to fire any things back to.
So you didn't feel that you could go and talk to other tradies on the site where you were and say, hey, this is how I feel.
No, because we're too macho. We're too tough. We're not going to bare our soul. And it took me 16 years after the attempt to be able to come out and say to people, this is what I did. Please do not follow that path.
So let me just ask you this. You didn't go, I mean, apart from what you said at home, and you got a lousy response there. Like, you didn't, over the next few days, go and talk to any mates or anything like that because you just felt embarrassed about it?
Absolutely. I just clammed up. I just put the nail bag on again the next day and went and did my job because that's all I knew. And it was a frightening thing in retrospect to think about because I could have fallen back into that dark, dark hole. I was lucky enough I didn't. But like I say, 16 years it took for me to open my mouth and talk to people. During that time, I had the horrible duty of cutting down my labourer as he swung by the neck five floors in the air.
All right. Let's take a break. I want to try and get this a little bit up.
But, absolutely.
But we still need to discuss it. But I need to take a break and we'll be back with more. Talking to Trevor, and Trev does have a website and a YouTube video up, which I saw before, and we'll give you that all at about 5 to 2. So it's it's something that is well worth looking at. But Trevor, first of all, I've got to ask you. Now, you said it took you 16 years before you really came out. When did you start your charity? First of all,
the charity's only been running for about the last 6 months.
Oh, right, so it's really new.
Yeah, we're brand spanking new.
All right, so in what year, like you said, it took you 16 years to come out, but how long ago was that?
Well, it was 2020, and after that time and I felt strong enough to do it,
yep.
We produced a video. A young lady came in and did a fantastic job, and that's the one that's on our website.
Yep.
And from there we started to show it to just friends, people, and we got a bit of interest.
All right. Well, first of all, before you go on any further, I want to take you back a fraction. What made you decide that I'm going to start this charity and I'm going to get this video done and I'm going to put it on? What was there a defining moment when Trevor said, I've got to do this?
Absolutely. 4 years ago, I was sitting back listening to people talk about things they didn't know about. And they were talking about this story, that story, and I said, you want to hear a real story? Here's mine. And I blurted it out.
So when you say, hang on, I just want to take this slowly. So when you say you were listening to people talking, are you talking about politicians and those people or just friends or what?
No, it was actually associations within the building trade.
Right, yep.
And they were talking what we should do, what we could do, this and that, and had a whole heap of scenarios.
Yep.
And I thought...
And none of them were your real one.
No. And I instantly knew, thank goodness, that yep. none of them had attempted what I had tried.
Yep.
So I blurted out and said, now there's a story. And about a week later I got a phone call. Would you like to enlarge that story and put it on video? So that then gave us the thought.
Yep.
So we engaged a young lady and she put together a beautiful video.
Yep.
And we started from there. And that was 4 years ago and we've been tinkering.
Yep.
And probably around Christmas time last year, we started with the organising a charity. And it takes your time, but we got yep. there.
All right. So what's the purpose of the charity?
Destigmatising the whole yep. idea of suicide and the mental health thing around in the building industry. We also need to raise, of course, funds to get the ground troops out there.
Absolutely, yeah.
And because we have, like in this studio, audio gear that we've got to be able to put up on a building site so everyone can hear. We have to train our guys. You can't just send the guys out. And yep. our people that go out are all tradies and they are all suicide survivors.
So, all right, there's another question. How did you get those guys? Like, how did you know that the people you're using had thought the same way you did?
Well, a half-warm cup of tea and a crusty old sandwich at Smoko and a few dad jokes and everything else brings out a lot of stories on a building site.
Does it? Yep.
And we learnt who was who in the zoo.
So did you... I'm keen to expand this a bit. So did you find all of a sudden that these guys were prepared to talk to you?
Absolutely.
Because 16 years ago you couldn't talk to anybody... But all of a sudden, so when on a building site now, you find that these guys are prepared to share these stories. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. As soon as they hear me mention mine, we're chatting, yep. all of a sudden it'd be, oh, I've got something to say. And it would start to expand. And then all of a sudden, someone else would walk in a day or two later and someone would yell out, oi, Trev did what you tried to do. And then all of a sudden the conversation would start. So you were talking to two people. And it just expanded from there. And so we got a bit of traction and thought, we can do some good here. We can
so
reach.
Are you mainly talking these, you were on work sites where this story, like you yourself were working on the sites, and that's where the stories came from?
Absolutely. It was where we found that people started to open up when they realised we had more in common than just swinging a hammer.
Yep. And so you were still at that stage working on the tools?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've still got the calluses.
All right. Look, I just got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. And, of course, that was AC/DC. And Trevor tells me he can remember them going down the in the city on the back of a truck. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Trevor, you say that part of your charity and part of the work that you want to do is to destigmatise what's going on. So how do you plan on doing that, or how are you doing it?
Well, we cast our minds back a few years on the building sites when we talked about destigmatising prostate checks. I know it's a... everyone went, oh, geez, no one's sticking anything in my body.
Yeah.
Well...
particularly a finger.
Oh, I know a lot of guys that would not even go near the doctor for fear of this. But over time, it got destigmatised. We started to cure prostate cancer.
Because people were talking about it.
Yeah, just have a yarn about it. Yeah. So that's the idea about this. Get a conversation going. Have a yarn to your mates. Destigmatise it. Then all of a sudden, you'll be amazed at how many people have felt this darkness. And when they start to talk about it, a hell of a lot of light comes at them and they start to move forward. And it just starts with discussion.
Trevor, can I just ask you why you think... why it's in that industry? Is it because... very often, like, you've got plenty of work and then you're out of work because that job finishes. Is it? Do you think that's part of the reason? Why do you think the reason is that there is such an incidence as what there are?
A lot of it's caused, I think, because over the last 20 years, we've lost a lot of the mentoring programs where the old boys would get in, which I'm one of them, and they'd chat to the young fellas and all the way down the line from, like, I'm 62, you'd be chatting to the 40-year-olds, the 20-year-olds, and everyone got to learn how to cope, how to do things, how to behave. Well, for 20 years, we haven't had that. And this is where the younger kids especially, and apprentices are very prone to this, they don't know what to do.
They're being trained in the actual, what they need to do for the job, but not what could be the side effects and how to cope.
Absolutely. The hand skills are there, but the mind skills are not. And then all of a sudden you've got a young person, they've got their ute, it's full of tools, it's worth a fortune because the tools and the ute are dear, and work starts to fall off or something starts to go wrong, but the payments are still got to be made, the stress levels grow up, they haven't got anyone to turn to, the old tradies are not there anymore, and that's when the dark side comes in. So this is where with our mentoring and our chats on sites are really making a difference. We're starting to lift the thought processes of especially these young people, and we're seeing some great results.
All right, so that's going to be my next question. You talked about destigmatising it. So how are you going to do that? Do you see, like, you can't be on heaps of work sites. You've got to still earn a bit of a living somehow. But with all the work sites around, so you're hoping to train up other young or other people to go onto work sites, or how do you expect to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. When we actually go to a lot of the sites and start to have the discussions, we find on every occasion people that can join our team. It's unfortunately the statistic is 95% of people have been affected by a suicide event, and so we find some wonderful uplifting people willing to share their story and of course become part of our, what I class our foot soldiers, and they get out, so they start spreading the word. And while they're even just still in the workforce, they're talking to that many people on site. So it's a word that's spreading.
So how do you get onto these work sites? I mean, do Trevor just lob up to a site and say, look, I want to talk to you guys at Smoko, or how does it happen?
Yeah, I've got enough wrinkles, and I have a saying, I've never died of embarrassment, and no way I ever will. So I just bowl onto a building site and say, g'day, fellas. Morning tea. Going to steal 5 minutes of your time, and we start the yarn. And without fail, 100% of the time, people go, wow, didn't realise that. And I give them a brochure, I give them a little bit of information and of how we get in contact, and I say, well, leave you with that, fellas, have a great one, and off I go. And we've started the conversation, and it makes a difference. So yeah, I just bowl in, I send out letters to builders, I make phone calls and sort of say, well, you need me.
Yeah, well, that's... And And I would think most genuine builders would be happy for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They really are. We had a builder this morning ring up and he booked me for a talk in 2 weeks' time for 30 people. He said, "Is it all right if I increase the numbers?" I said, "Fine, mate, more the merrier." He said, "Well, I've got 300. So 300? We've got 300 tradies we're having a chat to about this.
Just on a site, like on a building site?
Yes, on a major construction site it is, but yeah, 300.
Gee, that's terrific, isn't it? So obviously the builders can see there's a real need for it as well.
They sure do. They realise from their perspective of not only just doing the right thing to do and wanting to do this, yep. They realise that every time they spend a dollar on mental health, they're getting back $2.30.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's not only
the right thing to do, it's economically right for them too.
That's it. Because we're in a corporate environment. Charities yep. need corporate sponsorship. Yep. But corporate wants something back from the charity.
Yep.
So we go and do the talk. Their productivity increases. Everyone's happy. We save lives. And the rainbow starts to come out. It's looking really good. So we're lifting. We're lifting the game.
All right. I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more. And at about 5 to 2, Trevor will give you the contact details. Again, I can just say to you, look up the website. I had a look at it this morning. But apart from everything else, if you've got a relative or whoever, there will be a podcast of this show go up on the Yarra Valley FM website probably the end of the week or about Monday or Tuesday.
Passing my garden one time, she stopped, and I knew right away that it was gossip and not flowers that she had on her mind. And this is what I heard my neighbor say: "You know that girl down the street should be run from our midst. She drinks and she talks quite a lot. She knows not to speak to my child and me." My neighbor then smiled, and I thought, screaming of brakes, a sound that made my blood chill. For my neighbor's one child had been dragged from its path and saved by a girl lying still. The child was unhurt, and my neighbor cried out, "Oh, who was that brave girl so sweet?" I covered the crushed, broken body and said, "The bad girl who lived down the street." So unless you've made no mistakes in your life, just be careful of stones that you throw.
First of all, Trev, I think you've very brave to come and talk to us today and tell us about your life history and the way you felt. But I know, and I'm really keen to keep everybody happy out there. But I know it is a subject that needs to be covered. But more importantly, charities need money, And no matter how much you would like to do it all for free, printing, all sorts of things cost money. So I know you've got a couple of fundraisers coming up. When are you going to... How many people are going to push this wheelbarrow to Canberra?
Well, Alan, I'm going to put the bite on you to give me a hand to do it.
Well, I won't be going too far.
That's all right.
No, but how many people do you expect to have?
What we're doing is we've got Helen and I, and our little dogs will be riding in the barrow with us, so you'll get to see the pictures of those.
But you're going to have people who do a kilometre and then others?
Yeah, relay. Relay event. So people will raise money within their own groups of people, sporting clubs, households, and they'll say, I'll walk 5 kilometres for you. So the more we can get. So if I can get 599 teams, I've only got to walk 1 kilometre.
So are you and Helen going to walk the whole way?
Yeah. Yeah, we're training at the moment. You'll see us on the Warburton Trail and around the streets of Marysville pushing a red wheelbarrow with 2 little dogs in it.
And how long do you expect to take to get there?
20 days.
Righto. So when do you start fundraising for this trip?
That'll probably kick off within the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
And we're going to head off on the 1st of March. And we get into Canberra to meet Jackie Lambie, our senator up there on the steps of Parliament House, on the 25th of March.
And while I don't get into politics on this show, I've got to say that I think of all the politicians, Jackie Lambie would understand the whole situation, because I believe with her having been in the army and that she's seen people do this, hasn't she? She knows of suicide.
She has. And the one thing, like we say, we don't get into the politics, but she calls a spade a bulldozer. and I like that lady.
I would like to cross her.
That's right.
All right, so that's one of your fundraisers, but you've also got a golf day coming up.
Yeah, golf day up at the Marysville Golf Club, beautiful little spot.
And when's that?
25th of October.
25th of October.
Yep. Our website will have all the details as it starts to emerge over the next week or so.
Yep. And I guess you're looking for teams, but are you also looking for sponsors for the day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to have what's called a shotgun start. So 18 teams and followed up by 2 each. So it'll be 36 teams competing. We're going to have a few raffles. We're going to have a few competitions on the day, and everyone should have a great day.
All right, so we need at about 5 to 2, as I said to everybody, we'll get Trevor to give you all the details of his website, any Facebook page, any phone numbers. So have a look at those, particularly if we've got, I know a number of shops have us on today. If you see an opportunity to put some dollars towards this, I think it's a terrific organisation to be involved in. We'd love, and I know Trevor would love it if you'd have a look at it.
Absolutely.
So, Trevor, do you have any more fun? I mean, they're the 2 planned ones that you've definitely got dates for. Have you got any other ideas coming up in the new year?
People flood them in. We're actually trying to buy a wellness centre, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So this was part of the fundraising. So when we have our golf days, we're planning on different events. It'll be barefoot bowls, that type of thing as well. So as people come up with some ideas, we put them into play. The big one, I forgot. The raffle. Yes, because we now build little teardrop campers. Some wonderful sponsors around town have jumped on with materials, and we're building an off-road camper, and we're going to take it to Canberra. It's going to be one of our support vehicles, and it's being raffled off when we get there. So that's going to raise some funds. It's a $60,000 van, so it's going to be a good one.
So how are people going to get your tickets?
Same thing through the website. 2 weeks' time, they'll all be released, ready to go. And, buy one, roll the dice, see how you go.
And see how you go. You could wind up with that. All right, I've got to take another quick break. Oh, first of all, just before I do go, your wellness centre, what would you anticipate in that?
It's running at the moment. It's up in Marysville. Right. It's a place called Karami, actually.
Yep.
And we were trying to purchase it so we can have proactive care, so people in need can come up and we can give them the service they need, the support, the counselling, and for those who have lost someone, we can get them up there all free of charge to look after.
I was just going to ask that. That was going to be my next question. because sometimes, unfortunately, people are successful in doing what they do or what they're thinking about. So do you see eventually that apart from the Wellness Centre, that you will sort of reach out to some of the relatives and friend, or particularly relatives of the person who's passed away?
That's one of the main things, because unfortunately there seems to be more of the relatives than anything else. Yeah. So we want somewhere where they can feel safe, they can take a breather, and just get themselves back on track to be able to cope with what's happened in their family.
All right, I'm going to take another quick break and we'll be back with more. I'm talking to Trev, but he's on his website. It's Trevor Story. So, Trevor, can you tell us your website, please, and any other things that where we get got to get my tongue back there, or any other thing, a way of contacting you, please?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Trev Story, so it's www.trevstory.com. That's our website. Yeah. You can ring me directly, and this is for anyone out there who's in some need. Yeah. You can get me on 0499 649 0800 811. Now, that's a 24-hour line direct to me.
Give it to us again, please.
0499 649 711. So if you're in need out there, give me a shout. I'm here to listen, and I will answer your call.
Do you do web? Do you do Facebook?
Yes, we're on Facebook.
Gotcha. Oh, I'm going to go home.
Yeah. So we've got our Facebook. We've got Instagram. We've got
What's
all that.
Your Facebook called?
A Trev Story.
Everything's Trev Story.
Everything's Trev Story. Yep. Yep.
And I must say, there is a very enlightening video on that this morning, which I watched before we came in the studio. Now, you also tell me that you're walking every Sunday. Well, gee, well, you've got to get a pretty fit to do this trip to Canberra. So, and if people see you around, you're happy to talk to them too. So where do you walk on a Sunday?
Well, we kick off from Mount Ev at the Trail Cafe at 10 o'clock.
After and coffee?
Yeah, a bit of a heart starter. And we just head out. We might set the timer for half an hour, 40 minutes, and turn around and then come back. So anybody who wants to do 20 minutes, half an hour, want to go to Warburton and back, go for your life. But we train there every Sunday. Yeah, so come along, say g'day, have a chat, join the barra, push the dogs in the barra for me.
So what's the idea of the barra? It's just because you're a tradie. Is that the idea, or is there any significance why you're pushing the barra?
Yeah, primarily because it is signifying trade.
Yep.
Plus our little dog's 17 years of age and she needs a little bit of a hand, so it's a...
Are you going to take her to Canberra too?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Coming up there, it's part of the support crew.
So along the line, do you plan on sort of stopping off at building sites along the way and having a talk, or do you just plan on...
No, we'll be stopping at the building site. So as we walk, if we see a building site, barra stops, I run in and have a quick chat with the people there, and then we keep going. It's all part of spreading the word.
Pardon me, I don't want to waste time on this, but what's the logistics of doing something? Like, do you have to notify the police along the line of when you're pushing your barra, or how does that go?
Yeah, we've got to get permits to go through the municipalities. We're not allowed to walk on the freeways, of course.
Yep.
So we're doing the back way. So we're heading up to Beechworth and then across to Tumbarumba, and away we go. So, but yeah, we've got to go through all the permit processes, which we're underway.
But the permits, you have to get them from the council or each police, like Victoria Police and New South Wales Police?
All parties, yeah. So council and police in all areas. And then we've got to deal with the feds in Canberra, which is an interesting, interesting setup as well.
So, pardon me, while you're doing that, though, do you... can you just walk, or do you have to have the police or someone to escort you, or do you have to have an escort vehicle, or how do you go?
Yeah, escort vehicle. It's got to be supplied, so we're dealing with that. So we've got all those bases ticked.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how you pull something like that all together.
Well, we've got some great people on board with us that are just sitting on the phones after work, before work, writing emails for us, getting in touch with them. We've got a whole heap of volunteers, and they're just wonderful people.
So how many volunteers do you reckon you've got?
Well, at the moment, we've got six people on board and working their hearts out, and we hope for more because we need more to expand, to reach more people.
Do you find that after you've been to these building sites and talking to some of these guys, that then apart from the fact that you're imparting the knowledge of them, that all of a sudden they think, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting involved with that?
Absolutely, yeah. Every time. Every time people say, can I tell my story? What can I do to help? Yeah. And you start to bring them on board as things start to expand, and you go, oh, so-and-so said they could lend a bit of a handy. We'll get them on. So, yeah, we've got no shortage of helpers.
Because I was going to say, there's only so much you and Helen can do, and you've still got to build your little campers as well too, don't you? Everybody's got to have a bit of an income.
Oh, yeah. I get hungry every now and then.
All right, so look, give us your golf days again, if you could, please.
Yep, 25th of October at the Marysville Golf Course.
And so how are people going? Through your website?
Through the website. There'll be a registration form to fill out and book your spot. And for those who don't want to play golf, come and have a bowl.
And your website is?
www.trevstory.com.
So on there. And then you're obviously looking for, well, you don't want to push a wheelbarrow from here to Canberra for nothing. I mean, you're still looking for sponsors to come on board for that too, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes the charity function. So anyone who can sponsor, please do. That can all be done through the website right now.
Yep. And that's starting off for the 1st of March, isn't it?
Yes, yep.
I've got to ask you, where are you going to start from?
We're starting from Marysville. So we're going to be meeting down at the bottom of the main street and have the big send-off and get the blister cream ready, and away we'll go.
I can't imagine standing in the main street and thinking, how many kilometres you got to travel?
600.
I just can't imagine that. Actually standing there thinking, I've got to do 600 k's before, and then you've got to get home again.
Oh, my only concern is how Helen's going to push me in the wheelbarrow, but we'll cross that as we get to it.
Look, Trevor, I think you're a very brave man, to be honest. But first of all, you could have done it. Secondly, the second thing is, once you admitted that what it has done to you, you could have just walked away and said, oh, well, I saved myself and that's it. To come on, firstly on the radio, but also to keep going to building sites and telling your story, not because that you want to glorify your story, but because you want other people to come to you and say, well, you know, this is what happened to me. I think you're a pretty brave man. I'm not sure that a lot of people would be game enough to do that.
I appreciate those words, Alan. I think when you do a job, you must love it. I love this industry.
Yep.
I'm a third-generation builder.
Are you?
Yeah, and so the legacy I want to leave is not the houses or the bigger buildings. Yep. I want to leave knowing that I've helped the tradies.
Well, and you must be doing that.
Yeah.
You must be doing that.
Yeah.
But I think you're a very brave man to have... a lot of people would have got themselves through what happened to you and then said, well, I got through it, so leave it up to everyone else. And to open yourself up and say, well, this is how I felt, I think it's a pretty brave thing to have done, to be honest with you.
I feel privileged. I'm lucky to have survived, but yeah. I'm privileged to be able to get this word out, to, in generations' time, go, there was that crusty old bloke who started this, who started destigmatising it. And if that's what I'm remembered for, fine.
Well, it's a lot better to build the house, isn't it? It's a lot better than being remembered because you built some mansion in Toorak or something.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
And I think it's a bit like the last lady I was talking to in the last hour. There's nothing better than the community doing something for the community, which is you doing something for the community rather than... anybody else, because when the community does it for the community, they know exactly what the community wants.
That's true. It's no different to your own children. Yep. You try to put as much of your knowledge into them so they can have a better life.
Whether they'll listen or not.
Oh, well.
We've all been there.
Haven't got a big enough stick for that.
Look, Trevor, again, just your website, because we've got a chuff off, but your website again, please.
No worries. It's www.trevstory.com.
Trevor, look, again, and the phone number is 0499 649 711, isn't it?
That's
it. Answered all the time.
24/7. I'm there. If I'm asleep, I'll wake up and I will take your call.
0499 649 711. And I encourage, as I've said a couple of times during the interview, if you know a tradie or a trader yourself, if you suffered through them, get them to listen to the podcast. It'll be up on our website early next week, if not late this week, and have a listen to it. And we wish you well, Trevor.
No problem. I'll keep you posted about our walk.
Absolutely. I hope the blisters aren't too big.
I'll send you the photos.